Missed opportunities. And not missing things that are happening all around us. And being asleep, not being inspired. Okay, so he wants to use Shalashuris as an example of a time which, if a Jew is at all spiritually alive, how could you not be inspired at Shalashuris? So here's what he says. On page 28, we'll start from the beginning of the mashal again. It's not a mashal, but the example that he brings. The mashal. Again, you have to picture a little bit what the Piazet Nervi's world looked like. And when he describes what his Shabbos looks like, we're either going to be very inspired or very depressed that our Shabbos doesn't look exactly like that yet. Emphasis on yet. But he says, L'mashal, ata yoshev besuda shlishis, b'shabbos b'cheves chasidim. You're sitting together with fellow Jews who are inspired Jews who want to feel Shabbos. Hayim einat margish mu'uma az. Is it possible that at such an elevated time, and he's going to describe to us very poetically and very cryptically some of the oros, the illuminated moments of Shalashuris, is it possible to not be inspired at that moment? Hatzadikim amru. The tzaddikim said about Shalashuris, the heights of Shabbos, Sheshas Shalosh Seudos, He Ashah Shal Yafa Shah Achas Bechuva Maisim Tovim Bolam Haza, Mikol Chai Olam Haba. When it says in Pirkei Avos that better a moment, Shah Achas, Yafa Shah Achas. A sincere moment of tshuva and a good deed in this world could be more meaningful and more elevated than all of Olam Haba. What was that said with regard to? He says, I heard from my holy father-in-law who heard B'neim, the Maggid of Kuznets, that B'shalosh Sudos, that statement of Chazal was said in reference to Shalashuris. Shahayi v'china sadikim yoshim v'itchoseyim b'roshayim v'nenim iziv ashchina. That we have that image of Lasid Lavo, of the circle of tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim are sitting there basking in the splendor and the glory of the Shechina. Right? So that's what Shalashuris is. Shalashuris is that moment where we get a taste of, we say Shabbos, the chlal is me'ein olam haba. The entirety of Shabbos is a taste of olam haba. But as you come to, so to speak, you've been building it up. Presumably, you enter into Shabbos, you're starting to shake off a little bit the week, and now you're getting deeper into Shabbos and deeper into Shabbos. When you come to those final moments of Shabbos, there's an elevated attachment that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment. That's as good as it gets. That is Olam Haba. So if you're not enjoying that, well, what's there to look forward to in the next world? But ata ha'incha margish mu'uma, do you not feel something in that moment? Shaha yoser tov mekol chayalam haba veras alecha. A moment more meaningful than all of Olam Haba is passing you by. The ain ata yodeu margisha. Is it possible that you don't know it and you don't feel it? Can such a thing be? So how does that happen? How can that happen? Because it does happen sometimes. You could look at the Piazet Rebbe with his eyes closed at Shalashuris, and he's going to paint a picture for us. Right? And you look at him, you say, how does he do that? He's not faking it. He's not trying to look from, so he's squeezing his eyes tight. He's totally lost in Shalashuris. Just with regard to squeezing your eyes tight, they say that there are a group of individuals who are upset that the Kedushas Levi, when he used to daven Shemoneh Esrei, used to daven with his eyes open. So they came to the Baal Tanya and they said, I don't understand. He looks like he's like, you know, who doesn't close their eyes at an intense moment? You close your eyes. So the Baal Tanya called the Kedushas Levi, the Berdichim for Tim, and he said, you should know, some people have a Taina against you, that when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're davening with your eyes open. So he says, I am? Okay, if that's the case, we'll leave it alone. If you're so out there, you don't even realize. Okay, right? But you can imagine, you can paint a scene, and he's going to paint the scene for us, of Jews sitting in a dark place, singing the Nigunim at the end of Shabbos, and you have another guy who's sitting there, and all he's interested in is he's still, again, poking at his tuna fish on his plate, wondering what everyone else is experiencing that's passing me by. So he says, how does that happen? So he says, it must be, betach, it must be that your laziness is trying to convince you that what? That who am I? I'm not a tzaddik. Yeah, the Kuznets or Magid can say that Shalashuris for him is like Olam Haba. Can I compare myself to the Magid of Kuznets? Can I compare myself to these tzaddikim? We give ourselves a pass sometimes in life. We don't reach the levels of spirituality we're meant to reach because we assume I'm just a regular guy. Until we pause for a second, we remind ourselves that, you know what, these tzaddikim were also regular people on some level. They also ate and they also slept, maybe less than us, maybe with different kavanas than us, but they were still human beings of flesh and blood. They were still born from women. They came to this world like regular human beings, as much as they reached angelic heights. So we give ourselves a pass to ask for tzaddikim. Aval kvar amarti lecha, but I've told you before. She tshuva kazos tshuva ze yitzahara shebachai. That excuse is the excuse of the yitzahara. That says either I'm frightened by the spiritual potential that I have and I don't want to go there, or I know it's going to take a lot of effort to get there, even though I know it's possible. I believe there's a part of me deep down inside that believes I could get there, but it's going to take a lot of caring to get there, and I'd rather sit back and just watch the game. I'd rather not be burdened with it. It takes a tremendous amount of avodas hanefesh to get there, but that's an excuse of the Yitzhara. And chaval to deny yourself such a pleasure in this world. Chaval. Hashem Yisbarach Ma'achusa Bachom Mashallah. Hashem, the same God, rules over all. From Hashem's perspective, we're all His children, we're all His creatures. Ve'im tzadikim zechusim yagen aleinu. And therefore, these tzadikim hirgishu v'yisangu miktushas yisbarach v'chinas reisha. Maybe they experience shalashudis in the highest level of what shalashudis can be. But can we at least experience shalashudis on some miniature, diluted version of? I mean, can we taste what they were tasting? We may not be able to do it exactly like them, but can we tap into it a little bit? They have a neshama and we have a neshama. They were created with Tzal Malkim, we were created with Tzal Malkim. Hashem said, Banu Matem L'Hashem Elokeichem to them, and Hashem says, you're my child also. So we can't experience it a little bit. Rav Simcha Bunu of Prashistla used to explain, the Medrash says that a person is supposed to ask himself, Masai Yagiu Ma'asai L'Masai Avosai. When am I going to reach the level of the Avos? So you read that Ma'amar Chazan, he said, it's ridiculous. I'm not going to reach the level of the Avos. Why would I walk around saying to myself, what a baldimio, what an illusion I'm living if I walk around saying, when am I going to be like Avraham Avinu? So Simcha Bunim used to say, Yagiu could be a lashon of reaching, to attain that level, which doesn't seem realistic. But Yagiu is also a lashon of Nagia, meaning when can I make contact with it? When can I touch it? So they're the head, but I'll be the foot. So he says, if the tzaddikim were able, if Hashem rules the world equally on some level, that means it's out there and it's accessible to us. And Hashem didn't set us up not to be able to experience Him in this world. The tzaddikim obviously reached the bechinas reisha, the highest levels. But ata al kopanim as bechinas, right, the akev, or the akev of the akev, the kedusha targish. So touch the heel, or maybe the heel of the heel, the lowest, shabalowest, right, the lowest part. At least make contact. So says the PSS, I'm not going to accuse you of not being able to feel shalashudis. On page 28, 6 lines from the bottom. I'm not going to accuse you of not being able to experience shalashudis. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You're also, internally at the very least, your heart and your mind is stirring, it's being moved. From what? From the sound, from the thunderous sound of the wheels. What wheels? Galgalei Merkava she'ovrim derech nafshecha. Right? The wagon wheels that are driving through you. You might be out to lunch, right? But this is shalashudis is passing through the world, and it's passing through you. And it's available to you if you're interested. But you're not looking deeply. Mistakel, like we read last time from Rabbi Nachman in that opening piece of Lekutei Maran, to be mistakel in the seichel shel kol davar, not to see in a superficial way, to stare at it and to identify its inner core. And therefore, this ra'am and this ra'ash, all of this noise that's happening, odim v'nifsadim b'cha, ad shekema'at lo teida she'Hashem Elokecha ba v'kol kedosh av imah. To the point that the king is walking right past you, and you're like staring out the window and looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the guy selling ice cream in the corner. If you just look in the other direction, the king with his entourage is passing by. And the king's offering words of blessing to anyone who looks in his direction. And this is passing. Now again, he's saying, there's a part of you that's stirring. And if you're even a little bit connected, there's something internally that's stirring. That the wheels are spinning. Right? The fact that you're even asking yourself the question, what is this tzaddik experiencing that I'm not experiencing, means that you recognize that tzaddik has something that you don't have. You're curious, how do I get that? Now you might decide, I'm not shy after that, I can't get that, it's out of reach. But you're still, the fact that you're asking the question, what's he experiencing, already shows that you're attached to it, you're drawn to it, you're interested in it. So therefore each of us needs to try to become attentive in accordance with our level. I'll give you a simple histaklis for shalashudis. Now again, the PSS Rebbe was a master of imagery. So look how beautifully he paints a scene for us. And he says, you can use this. Take this with you to Shal HaShudas. And if your Shal HaShudas doesn't look like this, so create a Shal HaShudas that looks like this. Ovra Alecha Shabbos. And by the way, you don't have to be in a dark room with countless chassidim like he was to have this. You can be sitting at your own dining room table with the lights on, with your own family, and you can still have this kavana. What's the kavana? Ovra Alecha Shabbos. It's the final moments of Shabbos. I've been building up to this moment for the last 25 hours. Yom Kulo Shel Kedusha. It's a day of complete Kedusha. Again, however much Kedusha of Shabbos I absorbed, the bottom line is Shabbos is Kodesh LaHashem. From the heavens you've been sanctified. Meaning when Shabbos comes, it descends upon you. It's Mikadesh HaShabbos. It's not like the Gemara says, by Yom Tov, Mikadesh Yisrael V'Hazman. There we set the tone. Shabbos, Mila'ela. Hashem sends it down. There's a light of Shabbos that descends to the world, and you're dunked into it. The Kedusha is felt. And even though the starting point is Hashem delivers Shabbos to the world, but you've tried to elevate yourself, you've tried to tap into it, you've tried to take advantage of it. You've worked on experience sanctity during this time. Lo achsakta, you didn't get involved with your businesses. Lo tialta, you didn't go for walks in the shuk and in the marketplace and in the streets of Rehovos. Lo ikalta, you aren't lightheaded. There's a certain presence, a certain seriousness. Rav Soloveitchik used to describe what it was like to see the simple water carrier, right? The local schlepper on Shabbos. How when he would put on his long coat and he'd throw on his furry hat for Shabbos, all of a sudden he looked like a different person. And that's what the Yerushalmi says. The panim of a person during the week is different than on Shabbos. We look different. We look completely different. Not just because we dress a little bit differently, but there's a spiritual transformation. And that's taking place by a simple Jew. Or more so, the person who's trying to tap into it. The person who goes to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. The person who sings the Zemiros of Shabbos. The person who thinks about how can I enhance Shabbos. So a person said, I detached myself from my business. I wasn't wandering in the streets and in the marketplaces. I didn't have that, maybe the lightheadedness that I sometimes have during the week. Yeshavtis, bodes, beincho, beinkonecha. I sat alone. I had a few private moments here and there with Hashem. Or yachad im chaverecha. Maybe I sat with my chevra, where I was osek in Torah. I spoke about meaningful things, maybe the content of my conversation on Shabbos. I spoke in a different way, hopefully. The conversations that I have on a Sunday are different than the conversations I have on a Shabbos. I rinse myself, I bathe myself in the Kedusha of Shabbos. I wash away the stains and the filth and the dirt that attach itself to me throughout the course of the week. And I worked to get back the soul that I kind of abandoned. And my soul was sitting out while I was on that business phone call during the week. So now I say to my soul, I'm really sorry I've been ignoring you for a week. Come, let's sit together. Let's get to know each other again. And every hour you feel that you're going from one situation to another situation. Meaning what? From one Madrega of Kedusha to Madrega of greater Kedusha. So I come to the Shalosh Sudot, Marum Kitzo Shel Shabbos Rava de Ravin. What's referred to in the Svar Makadoshim in Pnimiyas Torah is known as the time of Rava de Ravin, the Ratzon of Ratzon, the desire of desires. The most desired Shabbos itself is Chemdas Hayamim. This is the most desirable of the desirable part of Shabbos. So what happens? Suudahimi Gimel Sudos. On the one hand, you'll say it's just another meal, right? But it's the minhag Yisrael is to have bad food by Shal HaShabbos. That's the minhag Yisrael, have bad food by Shal HaShabbos. It doesn't compare. It doesn't compare to lunch, it doesn't compare to Friday night. Why? Because no one's hungry? Because no one wants to sponsor Shal HaShabbos? What's the problem? Why is Shal HaShabbos always such simple fare? Because every Jewish soul knows that's not the point of Shal HaShabbos. You have to wash, you have to have a little something to eat. And when Jews sit and eat together, that's also a good thing. He says it's a Suda of the Gilel Sudos. It's another one of the Sudos. And yet, Aval, this is not the meal where it's another bowl of cholin, another bowl of cholin, another bowl of cholin. Right? And the fancy desserts, I don't need any of that. What am I doing at Shal HaShudas? I'm searching, like it says in the Zemar, Hakel Mistatir B'Shafrir Chavyon. Like the Talmud of Rav Moshe Kordovero wrote in his famous piyut, that not a lot of people say at Shal HaShudas. I wish I said it. I wish I said it more regularly. Once in a while, I say it. Kel Mestater, the God of concealment, B'Shafrir Chavion, in your secret canopy. It's Ne'ila. It's the Ne'ilah part of Shabbos. Right? It's like the Yom Kippur part of Shabbos. It's the height of Shabbos, Ne'ilah. It's the Zman of Yichud. It's the Yichud room of Chasan and Kala. The secret canopy. That's what it means. Shafir Chavion means the secret canopy. With the Kelam Estater. When Hashem says, come, let's have a private moment together. Come, bask in my ziva shechina. Come, sit in my radiance. You're sitting with your chaverim, and they're all mavakshei Hashem. Gam kim mavakshei pnei Hashem. The chaver is interested in the same thing you're interested in, which is having a moment with Hashem. And he says, as is the minhag of Yisrael, to sit in the dark place. What's the pshat? He explains why Jews feel a desire to sit in the dark by Shalash Shuris. If you've been to the Shalash Shuris with the lights on, and you've been to Shalash Shuris with the lights off, you know they can't compare. What's the pshat? Well, why do we sit in the dark? He says it's minhag Yisrael Torah, as the Maamar Chazal says, the minhagim of Klal Yisrael become Torah. What's the basis for this minhag? Why do Jews feel inspired to sit in the dark? He says beautifully. Look how he explains it. The body should sit in the dark, the same way that to help align the body with the neshama. What does that mean? There's darkness and there's darkness. What does it mean? There's darkness and there's darkness. I'll tell you what Pinchas Karatzer says about the choshech that took place in Mitzrayim. When the Jews were zochet to the mak of choshech. What do I mean zochet to the mak of choshech? In Mitzrayim, it was the makos were intensifying. They were sitting in the dark. And what does the pasuk say? Well, the chol b'nei Yisrael was or b'mosh v'osam was kula or. So Pinchas Karatzer, one of the early Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. We only met the Baal Shem Tov once or twice personally in his life, but he was one of the earliest tzaddikim of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. He said, what happened? The Mitzrayim, there was such a blinding light that for the Jews it was mamish, the most beautiful light they ever saw. What happens if the light is too bright? Why don't you stare at the sun, you go blind. So for the Mitzrayim, that light was kulo choshech. For the Jews who were ready to and were healing, spiritually healing, were able to makabel Hashem's light, it was a beautiful light. So says the Piyaz Esther, there's darkness and there's darkness. There's darkness which is dark and dreary and miserable. It's a darkness that leaves you feeling broken, right? But sometimes there's a light that's so bright that it's a darkness of light. Look what he says. Is choshech, there's darkness and there's darkness. It's Hashem Yisbarach, by Hashem who dwells in darkness. He's a Kel Mestater, he is the God of concealment. Yashas Choshech Sisra. Hashem hides himself in darkness. But that dark place where Hashem's hiding is the brightest place you could possibly be because you're sitting with Hashem. Or Amitihu. If you're with Hashem, you're with the light. You're with the light. It's not dark at all. However, there's a Choshech that's Min HaOlam Hazeh, which is a darkness that's dark. Kipshuto. Lo Olam. It's a darkness where I can't see this world and I can't see anything. So which darkness am I trying to create at Shal Shuris as I'm singing Kel Mestater, as I'm talking about the God who's hiding in his little canopy and he's inviting me to join him in his darkened canopy, in his secret place, right? I'm recognizing the fact that after Me'es Le'es, a full 24-hour period, an Eis Le'es Shalim, that means a complete 24-hour period, that I distanced myself from Olam Hazeh. That everything I was doing on Shabbos, even the physical things I did on Shabbos, were inherently spiritual, all the more so if I tried to make them spiritual. U'miskariv atah psia achar psia, step by step, I'm coming to Ravid the Ravid, the Yichud Rum with Hashem, Ratzon Ha'elyon, the highest point of desire, B'mocha v'libcha avachush gufcha, in my mind, in my heart, and in every bit of my senses, the senses of my body feel what? Muchrach gam gufcha bepoel mamish al sheves b'choshech. The same way that I've turned off my body, I put my body into a dark place in a simple sense, that I've tried to downgrade the body, right? But now, while the body sits in its darkness, and Hashemah enters its darkness, which is the brightest darkness. It's the darkness of the Kel Mestater, of sitting in concealment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a private place. Gam libcha I'm creating a mashal the same way that what? That if you were to ask me what I think of the world right now at this point of Shabbos, the world doesn't exist. I'm never going back to work. It's just me and Hashem for the rest of eternity. It's Mashiach, it's Gula. From anything mundane, I've been freed. And I'm never going back to that place. I'm never going to look at it again. And I'm sitting in the dark. Even the world doesn't exist. It's just me and Hashem. I'm alone with Hashem. And I have everything that I need. After searching and trying to identify Hashem in that place, I can see that I found Hashem's hiding spot. That's what I feel at Shal Shabbos. I found the place that I want to be forever. Right? The main Olam Haba that transitions mamash into Olam Haba. At that moment where I found Hashem. Basa ela rafel esher sham elokim. What does the pasuk say by Kabbalah Satorah? Because that's Rebbe's quoting the pasukim in Parshas Yisrael. That what? That vayamur ha'am merachok umoshen igash ela rafel esher sham elokim. What does it mean? Am is always a derogatory term. You call a person am ha'aretz, right? They're very simple. You're a person of the am. Part of the nation. We find in the Nusach of the Tila that we're going to say on Hanukkah that the Yavanim came to attack who? Amcha Yisrael. The victory at the end of the B'mei Tisyahu is that we say what? V'achar kein bo'u banecha. We emphasize, no, we're not just an Am. Banim, we're Hashem's children. We have special privileges. They tried to downgrade us by saying, nah, you're just an Am, you're just any other nation. Right? So the Pasuk says, V'yamur ha'am mirachok. The Am, the regular people at our Sinai, they were uninspired. They stood at a distance. But Moshe, when he saw what was happening, when he saw that dark cloud, he said, I know what that dark cloud is. There's nothing dark about that cloud. He went El HaRafel. El HaRafel is the greatest darkness. Choshech is dark. Anan is darker. HaRafel is the greatest darkness. It's the third level of darkness in, as far as terminology in the Torah. HaRafel. Moshe enters the Am, stood at a distance. What's happening here? What's the rabbit happening to here? Why are we sitting in the dark? I can't even see the potato chips. What's going on here? So an Am, a person whose Am stands at a distance. Moshe, Ela Rafel Asher Shem Elokim. He says, this place superficially looks dark, but I have, in this dark place I have everything that I need because I'm with Hashem. You found the thing that your soul desires. You found the thing that you've been searching for your whole life. You want to just melt into the Kedusha of Hashem. To be absorbed within Hashem, never to leave that place. The entire room is filled with the heavenly assembly. Hashem is in the room with all the malachi shemayim. And you're at a point where I have to get to God. And there's a lot of people, the room's packed with angels. And they're also enjoying the moment. But I'm going to push my way right up to the Hashem and just say, thank you so much, this is great. Can I stay? Right? You push through. He's dochek through the Pamalia Kedosha. He pushes through to the Kodesh Kedoshim. I'm entering the deepest chambers of reality, of my own reality, of myself. I want to be in that place where Hashem is. And I want to grab hold of God Kiviyacha and never let go. What an image. Hey, what an image. And to know that if we think we have nothing to do with this image, we're just being lazy. And we're just making excuses for ourselves. That's what he told us. It's the Yetzer Hara who tells us, we can't. We're not going to create that in the year 2015. Not in our community. It's not true. Simply not true. You work on it, and you develop it, and you believe in it, and you experience it, and you tap into it. It's totally, at least to touch the ache of it. You may not touch the rosh of it, but to touch the heel of this idea, to have an agia, it's totally relevant to us. So it says the PSS, as we turn the page, V'lu yadat, ki tishar kein gam tamid, ki oz hai senapshcha smecha. And if the reality was that I could stay here forever, if this really never would end, and I could just sit here in the dark, singing the most beautiful songs to Hashem, feeling Hashem's closeness, as if I really never would have to transition back to the mundane world, if I could stay here forever, I'd be filled with the Simcha Solamim. And here's where things get challenging. But what about the fact that at this highest moment, I'm about to come crashing into the full week, right? And I have to face the reality that this experience is a full week away. It's not Wednesday because I'm thinking we're almost there. It's Thursday, we're almost there. Right? It's our Shabbos, our mom is almost there. Now you're at the peak of it. You're about to hit rock bottom. You're about to hit another full week of avoda, of chol. Right? And our week shouldn't be so bad. I'm being dramatic. But what he's saying here, this keres, you remind yourself all of a sudden. Here you are. You're trying to hold on. Achaz tivalar penu, and all of a sudden it dawns upon you. Right? It dawns upon you that wait a minute. Tomorrow morning I have to get the kids to soccer practice early in the morning, right? I'm back to being a regular human being. This character of old reg in a moment from now, you have liku neros, the lights are gonna go back on. And I have to clean up this shalashuddis. and I have to get the marv and get home right in time to make avdala for my family because everyone has busy things to do on Motzei Shabbos. Tavdil, make avdala. Veshuv tipuli mosachol. The cell phone's back on and it's buzzing with the emails. And I'm all depressed because here a minute ago I was a malach and I was in Kodesh Kadashim. And now I'm just a regular guy again. And that's a hard transition. Turn the page. I'm descending from what? From a place. I'm falling to the darkness from what? From clouds of purity. I was sitting on cloud 9. I'm back in the darkness of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is lashon of Meitzer. I feel trapped again. My soul was soaring. I was so free. And now I'm just a regular guy with a regular job and regular responsibilities. And I have to take out the garbage from Shabbos and I have to do the dishes from Shabbos. I'm back to being normal again. Right? And all the difficulties come back. Tzaras haguf, va'nefesh gam yachad, and everything's back. My neshama's hurting, my body's hurting, and I'm just... people have a tendency, Rav Nachman talks about how people have a tendency to stay up very late on Motzei Shabbos. Sometimes people stay up like way too late on Motzei Shabbos. Right? Because there's like this just feeling I'm lost. Like, I don't know what to do with myself now. Because right? The neshama just like, we were there, and then we just like, let it go. Why don't we hold on to it forever? Chazal say, of Klal Yisrael, two different Maamari Chazal. One opinion is if we just keep Shabbos once properly, we'd have Mashiach. Another opinion is two Shabbos. Right? But the point is, I can go. There's a recognition that I can go from there right into Gula. And that's it. I can leave it all behind. When I went into Shabbos and I said, Kol Malacha Asui, my work is done, didn't mean just now taking a break, and then it was done forever. And now, it didn't last. I wasn't able to hold on. And my body's aching, my neshama's aching. Tirad v'targis, tirgash, targish, sorry. Tirad v'targish, ashtein ata margish ata. So here I am, again, now back in Shalashos for a second. And I'm at this crazy crossroad. On the one hand, I'm experiencing, he says, Ketz Hayom, v'Ketz Hayomim. On the one hand, I'm experiencing the end of time, I'm experiencing, I'm mamish on the cusp of Gula. And on the other hand, I'm at the end of Shabbos and I'm going back to a full week. Marom Kitzosha Kedusha. On the one hand, I've reached the pinnacle, I've reached the edge of human achievement of Kedusha. The Kates the Michas Shachol. And at the same time, I feel like I'm at the edge of the cliff of everything that's mundane. I trade Gavnecha Chashoicha Nevokim Ata Becha B'Sholosh Sudos. And the darkness that I'm sitting in, that he described, is Choshech V'Ischoshech. The darkness that's so bland and so stifling, and the darkness that's so, that's Kula Or, I feel both. I feel both. I'm grappling with both of them at the same moment. Mashal, he gives a beautiful mashal. Mashal leben melech, shenigzer alav v'archiko me'al aviv. Imagine if the prince is being sent away from his father, the king. He's being thrown out of the palace. Not only that, the prince is being captured. Ulashlicha asar, he's being thrown into a dungeon. And for whatever reason, he has one last moment to say goodbye to his father as he's being dragged off. What does he feel in that moment? He's never felt closer to his father, and he's never felt more broken in his life. He's never felt such a love in his life, and he's never felt so distant in his life. In that rega achron, as he's parting ways, kodem shenifrad me'aviv, mikariv hu es atzmo yoser alaviv, he's closer to his father, he's dochek miskariv, he's clutching his father like never before, ochiz mischabik, he's grabbing him, he's hugging him, misanig miskageya, he's feeling a kirva like never before, umitoch ta'anuga, upach tzoka ha'nefesh imamakim, gam ki elech b'gitz ha'mavaz lo yirak ki ha'tayimadi. There's a part of him, the same way we were saying at Shalash Shudis, that I know as I'm about to go to Gates HaMavis, I'm being taken away, I'm being dragged out of the world of Shabbos. And Hashem, you're with me and you're somehow, we'll get through this together and we'll meet up again. Our hands are trembling, trying to find something, grasping for something. Hashem, I just want to hold on. So on the one hand, there's the greatest, it's the greatest feeling in the world, right? But there's this gnawing feeling at Shalash Shudis that I don't know that I can hold on. I feel like it's slipping out of my hands. So says the PSS to Rebbe. Now, right? Now I'm done. Now I'm done being the PSS to Rebbe. He says, I'm done with my mashal. I just took you to Shabbos, right? It's Thursday night, but for a minute now we were all by Shalash Shudis. And now let's zoom back out. We're a bunch of Jews sitting in Tinak learning a sefer together. Right? So he says, so now. So now that we have an image. Histakel v'izboni. Right? So now let's meditate on this for a second. Let's try to be mistaka, like he's been saying, to look deeply at this. This happens every single Shabbos from the moment I was born, every Shabbos of my life. So, am I aware of this? Have I thought about this? Have I worked to get it to the point that I really feel this level of intensity on Shabbos? And if I really can feel that, even though I have to go back to the week, if I could get to this level of Shal Shudas, so will not leave its mark on the week? Will not be able to take something with me? So he says, but this is happening around us, and that means so now some of us are trying to work on Shal Shudas more regularly, and we're trying to take it to the next level, and we're trying to learn the Sefer, which is already taking it to the next level in our Avodas Hashem. But let's think back, he's saying, to the times that this was happening in the world, and I was playing cards on a Shabbos afternoon with my friends. So this was reality. This was the reality that was unfolding in the world, and I totally missed it. Okay, so I was a kid, so I missed it. But now I'm getting older, and I don't want to miss it anymore. I want to know what he's talking about. And it's not that he's being overly dramatic. He's telling us this is the Messiah, so what's happening in the world. And I want to feel that, and I want it to leave its mark on the week, and I want it to be able to go from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos and to be able to hang on and to get a step closer to Mashiach. My personal Gula and the national, the world Gula. He says if you could think about this, if you would spend time, and you could be sitting in a room with the lights on, and you could be having a Shal Shudas with your family at home, and sometimes when I have Shal Shudas in the dark, when I'm sitting at home and I'm sitting in my daughter's room as she's falling asleep because she wants me to stay with her, I'm sitting in the dining room downstairs, I'm sitting with the lights on, and now I have Shal Shudas in the dark. Maybe that's not my ideal Shal Shudas, putting the kids to bed during Shal Shudas time, right? But if you just stop and think about this, in Tisboni with Tistakel, if you're Mistakel, if you try to tap into this, all of this emotional experience, this experiential moment that's passing you by, if I just pause and recognize those wheels that he said that are spinning, that Hashem and his entourage is passing through my personal kingdom of my body, is passing through my neshama, if I would just think about this, even if I'm not at this Shal Shudas, if I say to myself, but if I was with you, the Pesach Rebbe, then I would know what Shal Shudas looks like. But I'm not with you. He says, but just think about this. Know this is happening. And you'll become an Ish Ruach. You'll become a spiritually inclined person. And then step by step, you'll begin the process that we've been working on of becoming a person who looks at the world and sees godliness in everything. You'll become a person, and again, getting back to our Sefer, B'nei Machshava Tova, be a person who knows how to think like a Jew and how to look at the world like a Jew and how to experience feelings like a Jew. So then I'll be a person of Machshava Ilah, of elevated Machshava, Liros Rak Kedusha Vruchnias, Ukvod Hashem, Shemale Kola Aretz. Then I can be a Shal Shudas Jew when I'm sitting in my office on a Tuesday afternoon. But even though on some level this is enough to make you a member of B'nai Machshava Torah, and it's enough to make you into what he describes as an Ish Ruach and a Baal Machshava Torah and a person of Machshava Ilah, but again, I want to reel in every fiber of my being. This is enough to get you on the path. He says, but there's more to talk about, because we're still just getting on the path. We're just getting ourselves started. Okay, we still have 5 minutes, so let's go a little further. Let's start OCD base. Yadanu gam yadanu. Now this is great. This is great what he says. Right? So again, we read the Sefer. And we're inspired, and hopefully we're taking some of it into the week. And al derech avoda, we're doing it a little bit. We're trying to do a little bit throughout the day. We're just having those moments where we stand in the corner and talk to Hashem. We're having those moments where we're redirecting a feeling of ava, a feeling of yira, a feeling of joy, or a feeling of frustration, right? But he says to us, every time I take you into this world and I tell you can do it, there's a part of us that still says, I don't even know if this is real, what you're talking about. My senses don't tell me that this exists. And if it exists, I'm still convinced that it's only for Yechidei Sekula. So he says, I know you're still grappling. I know that your body is telling you this world does not exist in this world. If it exists at all. And it's not because you don't believe in Hashem. It's just, this is not how life is meant to be lived. And you might even say, I know some very great people, some astounding Torah personalities who never for a day spoke this language or lived this way or thought this way about God. This was not their picture of God. So I know you have sveikos, what I'm telling you. Yadanu gam yadanu sh'od gam ata libcha mistapik. I know you still have a suffix. You're mamin ve'eno mamin. Like it says about Noach. Even as he's building his teva. Even as we sit here at B'chabur every week learning more and more and more about it. Right? So we're building it. And there's a part of us that still says, I don't know if the flood's really going to come. I don't know if this spiritual awakening is ever going to really hit. So we're mamin ve'eno mamin. She'ef shilcha lalos l'matzav. Because I'm not fully convinced that I could become this type of person. She'tira that I should be the type of person that literally everywhere I'm not the Baba Sali. I don't like see Hashem's name floating around in the world. That's just not who I am. I don't believe that I can be the type of person where I don't see the world just again with my seichel. To see kedusha. What does it mean to see kedusha? To be able to look around and to just. I'm not a lamed vav tzaddik. To see neshamos, to see shemos, to see the spirit of the world, to see Hashem's name permeating all of reality. And what do we say to ourselves? Ba'am recha, we say, Halo olam gufni ani roe ba'alil. Why should I buy into something that I've never seen, I've never experienced? Right? When why can't I just follow what I know to be true? What I know to be true is this table is made out of wood. Why are you trying to convince me? Why is Baal Tanya trying to convince me it's made out of Hashem's out of letters? What does that do for me? Is that true? Am I shy after that? Can I get to that? Right, my body tells me otherwise. Umi yachol ahachish es hodos shel reiyas ushmias chushi. And what can I say to contradict to challenge what my physical senses tell me, the reality that I know to be real? So why should I buy into this? Aval. So he says. Look what he says. Me'ayin ata batuach kol kach b'riyas chushecha she'amit yosein. Why are you so convinced that your senses are telling you the truth? Now we spoke. He did this to us earlier. There's a beautiful mimer of Shimshon Pinkus in his volume on Hanukkah, which I left over there. I'm not going to get it now because we only have 2 minutes left. But he says in there, he says sometimes our senses are the greatest source. The thing that we perceive, right, as giving us access to reality, is sometimes the greatest darkness in perceiving reality. Again, there's darkness and there's darkness. There's reality and there's reality. There's lower reality and there's higher reality. And sometimes our senses, as we've spoken throughout the Sefer, are the greatest impediment to us perceiving Hashem's reality, of seeing the world the way that Hashem allows us, in theory, to see the world. So why are you so convinced as the PSS Rabbi that your senses are telling you the truth? Look what he does to us. He's really playing with us here. Hagam she'ein anu rotzim lahamik b'pupulim kilo. So I'm not trying to get into a fight with you about this. You're going to say, I'm going to tell you, what you see is not true, and you're going to say, but I see it to be true, I know it to be true, I can touch it, I can hear it, I can smell it, I can, right? Aval, I want to open up the possibility that your senses are not telling you the truth. How am I going to do that? Aval, he says, Kedei lahaziz es daitecha min vadas ubetichas chushecha shebehem atavotev. I want to just help you to be not so convinced that your chushim are the sole reality, are the only reality, are telling you the truth all the time. So let me try to just move you a little. Let me try to push you a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Right? That reality, that physical reality which tells you, is pushing aside what I'm trying to help you to see in a re'iyah ilah, to see in an elevated fashion. Let me just try to shake you up a little bit. Lahavid re'iyah bilti chushis al dvar mukshim, to try to convince you to see things that are nonsensical, right? That are not true to your senses, as opposed to that which your senses perceive. Lachain, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a simple question. I'm not going to have time to answer the full question, but let's just see what the question is. Mazemayim. What's water? What's water? Tell me about your experience with water. We've all experienced water. Tell me your experience with water. Klomar. Batuach ata shibisho sha'ata mabit umimashmesh b'mayim b'etzem ha'mayim ata roa b'mashmesh. So he'll tell me, stop with this like crazy philosophical game. What's water? I've experienced water. I know what water is. I've used water. I've experienced water. I've made contact with the etzem ha'mayim. I know what water is. I know what it is. And I've involved myself with it. So he says, Lo ezes tzur mehem bilvad. So let's talk about water. Let's talk about the way that water can manifest itself and can transform itself. V'imkein lam ha'mayim halalu ba'asvam. These very waters can sometimes appear mishafchem l'shelig. Sometimes it becomes snow. Sometimes it becomes ice. Sometimes it becomes aid. It becomes a mist. Sometimes it goes back to water. So what's the real water? Right? Identify the real water. Is the real water water? Is the real water snow? Is the real water ice? Is the real water mist? What's the real water? What's the truest expression of water? No, you know water. you've met water. So which one's the real water? As a kash. Let's talk about straw. Yeah? Let's talk about grain. So you take straw and you turn it into a fertilizer. And then you place the fertilizer in the field. And that fertilizer enhances the field. It enhances the grain. What does that mean? It's also meres. That it becomes added to the grain, right? Whatever was in that straw has now become fertilizer, and then it gets absorbed within the grain. So it becomes part and parcel of the grain. And then you take that grain, you make it into food, and you make it into bread. And then it becomes what? It becomes basar. It becomes part of your flesh. So now, what started off as straw became earth, became grain, became bread, became you. Yeah? So umahi ma'atzmam. So what's the etzem? What's the etzem ha'mayim? What's the etzem ha'kash? Etzem ha'tua, etzem basar. How do you identify? How do you define it? It's constantly changing. So what's the real it? It started off as one thing, it became something else, then it became another thing, and the third thing, and then it went back to its original thing. So what do you see? So maybe it has many essential expressions. That's hard to imagine. There's got to be, if I want to break it down, there's got to be something. What's it? There has to be an it. It can't be that there's two essential things. It has to have an essential expression. So what is it? Right? So apparently, the essential it, we've never really met. We've seen it as water, we've seen it as ice, we've encountered it in many different ways. I'm not confident that any one of those is the essential it. The same way that I'm not convinced that the tvua, when it was tvua, or when it was kash, or when it was me, when it became me because I ate the food, I'm not sure which one is the most essential version of it. So what have I seen? I've seen it expressing itself superficially in different ways, manifesting itself in this world in different ways. So therefore, is it possible that how I've understood myself, sometimes I'm like this, sometimes a little bit like that, I have many manifestations of myself, but is it possible that those are all, again, external manifestations of myself and the essential self I have yet to experience? The world, as I've experienced it this way, I've experienced it that way, but is it possible the essential, the world, and its essence I have yet to experience? Okay, so here it's Hashem, we'll have to find out. We're getting close. Here it's Hashem, to be continued.